not easy to try and gather my thoughts to see what I want to say, but back in July, I noted that we're in a year zero, 2010, final year of a decade cycle. Generally, year zeros end up being from high to low, downwards or flat years. We did have in the US, and I've circled these in that diagram there, you've got September 2001, had 90 months, gave us the March 2009 low. July 2002, had 90 months, was the January 2010, it was a low to high. October 2002, had 90 months, was April 2010. I found it amazing how they were consistently came out and gave the turns. And then we ended up, we then had March 2003, adding 90 months, gave us September 2010, which I thought would end up being another solid trend change, plus or minus one month. And I thought we should be getting a low at that time, which I think we've seen now. I think the lows are in. I think I might have said this before, but from my point of view, going forward now over the next 6 to 12 months, there are not a lot of major time cycles or time frames coming up that can force price to change trend. Because Gann always pointed out, it's time that turns the trend. Therefore, if you want to try and find the trend changes, you have to work out the time cycle. I don't see too many more on a monthly basis, on a monthly count, that's now going to turn the trend. Does that make sense? So that's the only way I can try to explain it. Over on page 6, right on 90 months. Yes. Now it's incredible how it comes through. You can see the pressure was almost building in a sense. With Australia, which is more important for us just here at the moment, I think Australia's giving an indication. And you can see what I've tried to do there, which I did in July, but the lows are holding in my view. You have from the top, from the All Ords, 6872 back in 2007, down to the low of 3091, which is a range of 1958. The market then came back by half, back to 5049. Retraced there after that slightly differently, slightly less than half. Should that continue, you have a fairly simple calculation of just adding the repeat run of 1958 onto the low of 4194, gives you 6156. Now from my point of view, going forward 2 years or so, the only dates I can see coming up that are of significance is February 24th, 2012, or November of 2012. November stands a very good chance of being a high in the market. A very good chance. Because if you count back from the 1987 stock market, the low there, if you count in 30s, you see that the time frames have been very consistent. You've had turns on all the big dates. You've had turns at 270. You've had turns at 300. And I think it's 330 coming up, which will be 300. I just don't recall now, but it's written in that email, which I've given reference to. It is written there, so you should go back and read it. Email number 21, July 16th. If you didn't keep it, email me and I'll send you another copy, or it'll be on the website. That seems a bit simple for a lot of people, but that has a good chance of playing out, in my view. Regardless, for Australia, February of 2012 will be an important month for whatever reason. What is coming up, I don't know, but it'll be important. And so will November 2012.
What do you do on February?
That's explained in the same email, number 21. But for me, it goes back to, remember the ratio work we were doing with the GAN stuff? Remember GAN's number 144? The difference between counting calendar days and trading days? Well, the top of the market for Australia, January the 11th, was the exact time frame count coming out, going back to 2001. And it was also, that was when the shoe bomb came through, related to 2001. But that time frame count, the March 2003 low, time frame count, if you count out in trading days, comes out at February 24, 2012. So it will be a significant date of some sort. And all I can say at the moment, all I know definitely, is that if around February of 2012 the market's up around 6,000, we're going to get a change in trend. I can say that for sure, once we get there. I'm never confident at the moment. It looks good. But I do know at the time, though, if that comes through, you can virtually bank that in. So an event will arise to bring about the change, or at least if the market gets back to around 6,000 and does that repeat range, at that time all the news will come out to justify why the market was going up. And as all that news comes out, that's when all the profit taking comes in. Does that make sense? All right, okay. You guys should be good enough to see all that now. Yes? This is what confuses amateurs in the market and people who don't study charts. That's the biggest confusion to markets. But remember, markets are always looking 6-9 months ahead. Okay.
Do you still see some significance for September 2011?
Yes. For the US, that's certainly significant. Maybe less here, but that's 120 months off 9/11. Yes. Yeah, always. Be significant now for 9/11 count is going to be significant for 360 years. It'll be significant for the US. Is that emotional? Absolutely. Yes. But you, with that question like that, which I've explained to everyone before, that, from my point of view, is, I was going to say it's the weakness in GAN. It's not the weakness in GAN, it's just maybe something that we haven't discovered yet. Maybe GAN didn't know it either. GAN, as you know, he made some astounding forecasts of when markets would turn, but sometimes he got it wrong as to tops and bottoms. And in fact, I'm not sure sometimes, I haven't worked out in GAN's material yet, I'm not sure anybody has really, how he knew when he did his 1929 forecast, for example. I'm not quite sure how he knew in the shape of the market how March 28th would be the low and how August or September might be the high. Why couldn't it invert? So from my point of view, as you know, as I'm sure you're aware, it would be really nice for September 2011 in the US, it would be really nice to know well and truly beforehand high or low for the year. That's the stuff that I'm trying to work through now. Okay. So now I've done all my Switzer talks, I've got no more excuses, have I? So that's the idea, right? But I think you can see how we've been able to, I mean, it's quite clear. If you've been following this stuff we've been doing over the past several years, it's quite clear the material picked up the March low. We had that beforehand. The material picked up the January top last year. We didn't do it very well, but it picked it up. And we also, if you go back and have a look what I had to write in November of 2009, you will see there, GAN's material that I was interpreting, it picked up, it clearly said we were expecting the high in the US for April. I think you and I spoke about that for the high in April of 2009 for the US market, April 2010 this year for the US markets, right? So it's in there. So there's ways of doing it, but going forward after that, you can see clearly there was always a doubt as to whether some of those time turns are going to be high or low. Yeah, that's where the work's got to go. The last thing we'll do before we have a break. You've then got to work out that forecast, we've now got an estimate of another 1,500 points going up for the All Ords. Is that sustainable? You've got to think about, could that possibly happen? And I'm sure there's a lot of people say it couldn't, but you've then got to think about that. So I try and, so I'll just use a couple of things from the papers to show you what I mean, if I may, and then we'll have a break. And this will also help you. What I wanted to do also was to try and show you how I interpret some of the news to see where the markets are. You don't have a copy of these, but I'll read out the important quotes. This was from the Weekend Australian, September 18, September 19. And the headline here in Market Watch is up, down and going nowhere. And everybody's saying the stock market's pretty volatile, choppy and not much value, is the assessment from most of Australia's prominent investment managers and market watchers about the local share market outlook over the next 12 months. Well, first up, can you see, like, it's completely irrelevant. You don't even have to know all that sort of stuff, because what you're interested in is just simply waiting, if you're a buyer of shares, you're just simply waiting for the break of accumulation. Markets are so big now, even if the economy is generally going downwards, there'll always be one or two stocks that are going to go up. Even if they're stocks that just live off everybody's desperation because everybody's having to pawn all their goods, there'll still be stocks going up. Markets are much bigger now. So keep that in mind. I also wanted to mention, again, this was in the Financial Review Monday the 20th of September, so it was yesterday, and it's talking about the demand in the Australian economy. And Resources Minister Martin Ferguson says, and he's a Labor man, he says mining companies and unions must immediately write a minimum 12% superannuation component into any new wage agreement. Yes, and that's all good. But Mr. Ferguson's tough comments made to the AFR reflect his concerns about the impact of growing wage pressures and skills shortages flowing out of the resources sector and into the rest of the economy. In other words, the government, what are they worried about? High wages. Yes? Now notice the logic behind that. I'm sure I've pointed this out before, but from a fundamental point of view, why on earth should we be worried about people earning more? I would have thought this is a good thing.
There's a thing called the Miller Curve, which non-farm wages are a leading indicator for interest rates. Typically, as wages go up, interest rates follow 6 to 12 months later.
Could be. Maybe right, maybe wrong. But the important point I'm trying to get you to, what I wanted to get to see, is from a cyclical point of view, notice, nobody ever comes out and says, we should stop the rent going up. Yes? So it's telling you where in the cycle you are, right? And from my point of view, it's certainly not got anything to do with having a recession right now. Yes? So that's just where the thinking lies, right? So it guarantees, it's just simply repeat behaviour. Because governments have been worried about wage rises since time immemorial. Nobody ever says anything about the reverse to that. On page number 5 of the same paper, I think it was, page number 5. Now again, I'll just read out the headlines, but it was World Cycling Races into Money Spinning Ranks. And it was over the past week, 100 professional cyclists have traversed the countryside in the inaugural Tour of China. So in other words, the Tour to China, I guess they'll call it. 878-kilometre, 7-stage road race organised by the Chinese Cycling Association and endorsed by the sport's global governing body, the Union Cycliste Internationale. First ever in China. And you guys, think about that. There's a lot of Chinese. There's a lot of bikes in China. Even more cars. But just imagine as China integrates itself into all of the sporting bodies. I mean, this is massive. Think about it. Golf, badminton, tennis, Davis Cup. All the sorts of stuff that the Chinese can start to do. And the money that's going to flow through there. I see that. Incredibly bullish. I don't know about how you see that, but the possibilities from what can be happening, I think are substantial, really. So, again, that excites me because I get quite bullish about that sort of stuff from what I start reading. Yes.
Because they're anticipating a huge boom in Chinese tourism to Australia.
Didn't I say that some years back?
Well, past people, yeah. I was
yes.
About 2 or 3 years back.
Yes, yes.
Here they come.
Absolutely. This, without trying to repeat myself, and certainly what I was trying to say to Nadine, who was asking me some really good questions on the show, I find it impossible not to find that significant, because they're going to come to Australia in absolute hordes. They're going to like what they see. The students are going to come over. They're going to apply to live here. They're going to be buying houses.
They're all buying significant amount of farms already.
Yes, absolutely. And Australia, silly enough, it is selling its rent, in my view. But that's what happens, because all the government is worried about is higher wages. See? It guarantees another cycle. Now, I could stand here, I could make all sorts of ethical and other opinions on it, and I'm not going to do that now. But I'm not here to do that. I'm here to get you to be and to see this process, because it will make you better investors. Great time to be a property developer, in my view. Because there's a lot of people going to be demanding houses. So, as a property developer, what you've got to be able to see, you've got to be able to see a piece of land that hasn't got its highest, best use already built in. Which practically all good developers know that. I've had one or two just conversations off the side. I shared a platform with Daniel Grollo last year. Some of you might have seen it at the Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce luncheon. There was 800 delegates. Gave me another reason to knock my knees together, I can tell you. Grollo saw it, and I was just speaking to Daniel, really nice guy, one of the nicest guys I think I've ever met as far as that goes. You can see why he's such a good developer in a sense, because he can see past the current use, and he can see future use value. Okay, we'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. There was another couple of things. Yeah, page 15 had a few things about US gas major, eyes Timor sale. It's about, I think it was Santos and ConocoPhillips exiting the gas major, but you know that goes back to a lot of the stuff we used to study years and years ago in Timor, and about why Australia was in there with Indonesia in the first place, because East Timor had oil. And there was nothing else about it. Australia was there because they had oil. Again, the potential stakes in the liquefied gas and the petroleum that's coming through, there are big numbers being struck in Australia about the potential for that sort of stuff. I won't go into it too much.
So many of those projects have been launched in recent months and years. The price of natural gas has been crushed.
Yeah, true. That's right. That's what does happen in the long term, because it is supply and demand. But the projects, nevertheless, I think they'll get built and they'll go ahead.
Oh, you've got a 20-year price.
Yes. Yes.
This year's price is irrelevant.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Now, I think a lot of it's underwritten with Chinese buying the gas, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just can't possibly. This has got to be. It's extremely exciting for Australia. And Australia will do the usual thing, and we'll put all our money in real estate, because that's what Australians do. And it'll create another big boom. We'll overbuild, and you know the story. You can measure that through the clock. I don't need to mention this bit because I've said that already. Final one here. Page 56 of that. It was all about, it's about debt weighing on the global housing recovery. And again, it was just an opinion. I urge you, stop reading opinions, because they're going to confuse you. Always go back to the clock. Now, again, the clock, if in Australia currently, when it starts going through a rise in gross rents, which is highly likely happening at the moment, and then in net rents, the property market cannot come down if that happens. So that's the sort of stuff you're looking for. You don't want to see the opinion on it. You want to see the facts. And then you want to relate it to the 18-year real estate clock.
So reading the opinions of good for as a contrary,
Yeah, I think so. I think so. One of the perfect contraindicators, oh, I can't remember his name. Well, there's two really. There's a guy in the US, he's on Information Clearinghouse, and every time the market, he comes out, he's quoted all the time, continually, with these incredibly bearish statistics. It's just been so consistent, the market lows. And another thing I think you want to watch for, and this is a bit of a shame in a way, I was saying this in the office before, another thing you want to watch for is who's the economist that lost the bet? What's his name?
Steve
Keen. As the market starts going up, it might be continues up and it starts to make that repeat run, it doesn't go in a straight line. It will always have a retracement, obviously. When that retracement happens and the market starts making another low, I can almost guarantee you that the network, Sky Business and other places, they will wheel out Steve Keen to make a comment about things are collapsing. It's unfortunate. It's not Steve Keen's fault necessarily, but they'll need the counterbalances, right? And so that may be one way of measuring these retracements. So if you see Steve come out, look it up. I met Steve back in 97. I met Steve in 97. He's a really nice guy. He came under enormous political pressure when he was talking in 2004, 2005 that the debts were too high and that something needed to be done about it. Because I can tell you, the banks and the real estate lobby, they didn't want that out. They want people to keep on borrowing and keep on and going into debt. I don't want somebody coming up and saying the debt's too high already. So I admire that. This is not a criticism. It's just that as investors, we might get to see this ourselves. So if you see on the retracements, it's a 50% on the weekly or the daily charts, it's a 50% retracement, and you happen to see Steve on the TV on Sky Business that night, there's your bottom. So keep saying that. Another reason why adds to my position of why I think the lows are behind us. This was page 52 of Friday's Australian Financial Review. It was about Australia's biggest homelender has been forced to defend the nation against accusations of a housing bubble as hedge funds globally short local bank shares. They get it wrong, those guys. You know, if they're going to come in as a mob and start shorting the bank local bank shares, I think they're going to get hurt. Okay, because they... You know, when you start seeing that happen, when they start telling people that's what they're doing, it's just, I just see that too often. It's just, you know. Again, Business and Wall Street Journal section of The Australian. This was, is there a date on it? September 17. Again, China's on board for the Wheatstone project. Australia's next giant liquefied natural gas project. Chevron's planned $20 billion Wheatstone venture could be underpinned by an offtake and equity deal with China, the world's biggest energy market. Again, get very excited when that sort of thing happens. I did note, if you might have seen it, this was in Wednesday's Financial Review, Wednesday the 15th of September. Buffett rules out a double dip in the US. He came out and said that what he sees with all his Berkshire Hathaway companies is that things are picking up. Now, again, it's a newspaper view, but that, I think, is less than an opinion. He is likely to generally tell people what is happening. He may have a vested interest in that. It's hard to say. But he has a good finger on the pulse with what's happening in America because he owns a lot of companies that do quite well in the US. You had a handout as well, a second handout rather than the main handout. People who were listening to this, you don't really get to see this, it's just something I hand out, a bit of information, but the first bit was about how Spain gazes into the abyss between dreams and reality. That's a fabulous, if you want to read that article, it's a fabulous article. It'll bring a smile to your faces about the whole 18-year cycle scenario, and you will, should, anyway, it's all past history now, but there's no reason why Spain, Ireland, Greece, they can certainly go lower with the rest of the world leaving them behind. So we'll just have to see how that pans out. You also have there, we'll have a break in a minute. There is a bit of an article, if you turn over the page, it's about what Mr. Grollo had to say about Grocon and about his business. And again, he says, and I've tried to highlight it there, Grocon's attempt to buy the project is part of the group's plan to acquire distressed sites and build up a pipeline of high-rise developments. And they're attempting to build the 530 apartment building called Portrait, which is going to be on the old CUB site. It's about time they got rid of that eyesore.
When that sort of thing happens,
I find it personally very hard to be bearish, because I know that that gives you something to watch. Now let's say we might have, in the scenario in Melbourne, we might have possibly one of the world's tallest buildings put on the map around about 2015, if things get really bullish. Now remember where that fits into the cycle, so that's something you've just got to watch going forward. But I do find it hard, the way things are going at the moment, when you've got those sort of statements being said, I do find it hard to be bearish, and I find it's not a case for me of the Australian market going any lower. I think I've made that clear here. Now look, I can be wrong, but just everything I see at the moment, the way the cycle goes and the way the numbers have panned out, things look bullish. But that's not to say that the Melbourne or the Australian property market is cheap by any standards. It doesn't look cheap right now, but if you were to say it, you might be able to look back in 2015 and say, well, it really was cheap. That sort of stuff's hard to know. All right. The last thing, as part of the handout that was not the main handout, is the last article. It's about takeover vehicles. And it's a very good 2 pages about India, the cars they are building in India. And just read, it's just the bottom paragraph on the left-hand side of the page. It's just above the page number 16 where it starts, while the brand is relatively new. So can everybody see where I am? Whilst the brand is relatively new, Mahindra has price on his side. A new four-wheel drive Mahindra tractor in the 80 horsepower range goes for less than 40,000 Australian, considerably cheaper than a similar sized John Deere or Kubota. And his tractors hold 2 global awards, a Japan Quality Award and a Demi Prize, whatever that happens to be. Now, if you were to read that full article, again, always, and this is what I find helpful, always come back to this. What's it doing? From his point of view, it's probably increasing his profit as he sells more, but it's lowering prices overall by providing increased competition. Yes? Now that's important, because that allows the rent, the yearly rental value, that allows it to go upwards. Yes? So there's how your next cycle begins. New technology, always. Ultimately, the gains of those things, whilst it's good for the inventor, but ultimately somebody else will come in to compete with that guy, and he'll get profits. He might get super profits for 4 or 5 years, maybe a decade. But ultimately somebody else will come in and compete with him. Yes? Remember, whilst the rent is permitted to capitalise into a tradable privilege, there is no competition. And the rent will rise to the maximum that wages can afford.
You include real estate, obviously, in natural resources, land.
Yes, land, yes. Yes, good, yeah, I didn't explain that, I took that as read. Yes, that would be land, air, water. So it's taxi licences, in a sense, is a government-granted natural resource. It's not a natural resource, it's a government-granted licence. Spectrum, which is the air value, capitalised in radio waves, yes. So it's easy for me to see the cycle turning. It's all there. You're getting the pressure on wages, you're getting the pressure on the profits with undercutting of competition. Notice, there is absolutely no pressure applied to the rent. That's because the owners of the rent, you and me, we all act as, it's not a conspiracy theory, We all act as a vested interest because we all want our house price to go up. That's all I'm saying. Now, I don't, from this point of view, this is neither good nor bad. It's just, hopefully you see it, because I think it's certainly been helpful for me as an investment point of view. That's all I'm trying to say. Good, let's have a break.